I actually just have something very simple to talk to us today. Simple is always good. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but we are already in the season of Christmas, and the world is been very busy of late, right? And I don't know about you, whether you've also got sucked into the busyness of the season. You know, just the malls have started getting really packed. No parking places, and I think it was Black Friday the other day, and people have started their baking and their decoration and all of the stuff. And I'm not against it, you know. I was up doing all those silly things yesterday, but it's not about the doing of those things, but it's there's a very real reality that we can get so caught up in all the frills of the season that we could miss out on what God's doing. And I'm not even talking about the reality of, you know, the birth of Christ. We live with that reality every day. You know, whether it's December or whether it's March, it doesn't matter. We live with that reality. But I'm talking about the busyness of the season that could sidetrack us and deter us from hearing what God is saying and what He's doing in this moment. He may be doing something completely different, right? And we don't want to miss. I felt like the Spirit of God was saying to exhort the church that when the world is spinning, take time to stand still. When the world is spinning with activities and spinning with stuff and spinning with the advertisements and the announcements and just the flash, you know, and the bling of the world, take time, instead of getting caught up in that spin, take time to be still before God and stay aligned, and because these things can easily derail us, right? And God wants us to be in that place where we can hear from Him and obey and walk in obedience and be part of what God wants, what God is doing, right? So there is a challenge that I want to give you to go against the flow. Right? The flow of the world and the crowd is one, but God is calling us to flow upwards, or, you know, go against the flow, because the flow of God is always opposite to the flow of the world. So the world is going downstream, God is calling us to go flow upstream with the ease of the Spirit. Right? We want to go and position ourselves so that we can hear what God is saying, what the Spirit of God is saying, and align ourselves. And the reason why I'm saying this is, I know 2020 is starting a new decade. It's a new year. It's even in the Hebrew calendar, you know, it's a new decade and all of that. But more than all of that, in the spirit realm, within the timeline of God, there is something happening that we don't even have to be super spiritual to catch it. Everybody's sensing it. And if you are breathing, if you are sucking air, you should definitely be sensing there is some heavy stuff happening in the realm of the spirit. You know, where the things of the world and with the things of, you know, whether it's finance or whether it's real estate, whether it's, you know, business, politics, you know, world politics on a global level, all of that, you can see that things are happening. But at the same time, just like what Isaiah said in Isaiah 60, you know, arise, shine, for your light has come, right? And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. It says, see, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises on you. And the glory of the... So at the same time when there's darkness and grossness on the earth, at the same time, but people of God can miss that. It's possible for us to carry the light and be under the bushel. And so I feel like God has been speaking and encouraging me, and I want to pass that on to you, that to stay in tune with the Spirit. Forget all of the other stuff that's happening. I mean, we can participate in that, but, you know, I just had maybe at least we were trying to hang, I mean, decorate the Christmas tree and all that stuff yesterday. And but within that, you know, even as much as I say those are meaningless stuff, we still, you know, do it because our heart is not set on that. But it was funny because the Lord has been speaking to me about this, and within those mundane activities, I experienced three miracles and a powerful encounter time with the Lord. Just within, you know, that. So I'm saying this to say, no matter what we are doing, if we stay tuned to the Spirit of God, you know, you could be doing the activities of the world, but your spirit can still be caught up with God, and your ears can be open, and you can hear what God is saying, and you and God can have a good laugh about those silly things that you're hanging or whatever it is that you do with God, between you and God. But the point is to stay awakened in our spirit and not fall under the slumber of the buzz. You know, there's a buzz that goes on in the world about this and that, and we want to make sure that we are not caught up in that. I think Paul talks about that. They say, you know, doing the things of the world as though that was, you know, you're not overcome by them. You're not obsessed with them. You know, buying and selling and all the necessary things of life and being involved in activities. Don't be engrossed in them. You can do them, but don't be limited to them. So I just want to challenge you, actually. Challenge yourself. There is a new year coming, and God's already on the move. There are some shifts that have already happening, and it's continuing to happen. So I want to encourage you to seek the Lord more than ever before now. A few more weeks, you know, before we enter in, but seek the Lord and move forward. So as we were talking about the coming new year, we as a pastoral team and elders, we've been praying and seeking the Lord about, you know, as a church, yeah, we are individuals. We seek the Lord individually, but also together, corporately. And God has been speaking some things to us, and He's been giving some amazing ideas to the apostle in the house. And at some time, He will share that, and we will unfold that as the days come. You know, we want to share that with you because it is for the body. Like, you know, how does God want us to position ourselves? If there's a shift that's happened in the realm of the spirit, we need to make some shifts. If God is here, we move. You know, we move with the cloud, right? That's what the Israelites did. When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stopped, they stopped. Cloud and fire. So we want to do that. And so there are some things that God is speaking to us. And one of the things we know we are blessed with is that there's amazing people in our church. So go ahead and give a good clap for yourselves. Come on. Come on. You don't sound... God believes in you. So if you didn't clap for yourself, too bad. God is cheering you on. And so the responsibility of having an awesome bunch of people. And you know, when I say awesome, some of you have such low self-esteem or have never heard that God has great plans for you. So you're like, okay, well, I don't know. But we believe in you because God shows us how precious you are, how special you are. And if you are here, you know, even within the sound of my voice, or within the umbrella of Church on the Rock, you surely are called with a purpose of God. You know, you're surely called for some things that are unusual and exceptional because God has put that already within you, but He brings us together for a purpose. So as I was, you know, as we were talking about that, and we're still praying and seeking the Lord, and that'll unfold in the days to come, but I want to make sure that we individually and corporately. And see, corporate shift never happens until individual shifts happen. Because corporate, the group thing happens through individuals. So I want to really encourage you, just a couple of the scriptures that I have talked about very often here, but I want to talk about it again, you know, and just in a casual way. But talking about getting caught up in the busyness sometimes, or even in the routine of things that we do, and the possibility of missing what God is doing. I was thinking about, since it's the Christmas season, let me throw you a Christmas verse before I go into my thing, a Christmas scripture. In Luke chapter 1, where, you know, Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, you know, it says that by route, his name came up by lot. You know, they picked up his tribe or his division was on duty to serve at the temple. And the name fell on him. You know, the lot fell on his name. So he was serving the Lord in the temple. Right? So this is something that by routine all the priests get to do. He was in the, you know, priestly lineage, and he gets to do that. His turn came. So it sounds like just an ordinary, simple thing, you know. Joe did and Jill did and, you know, whoever, John did and Smith did, and then came, you know, maybe Eliakim and Jeremiah, and then came Zechariah. It was Zechariah's turn. And it seemed just like an ordinary day, right? An ordinary thing. Priests go in and perform the rituals. But Zechariah's turn came. Everything in heaven was poised to shift things, because Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had been barren, and God's timing was right for John the Baptist to be conceived and to be born, because that was connected to the Messiah coming, because John would proclaim the way of the Lord before the Messiah came. So everything, angels were waiting, and God, Father God, was ready, and the time, in the timeline of God, it was the right time, right day, right hour. But Zechariah probably got up and went, as usual, it's my turn today, my turn. So he goes, and they're so used to, you know, he enters into the holy place, and, you know, the lamp, the showbread, and all of that is there. He's just doing his normal thing, and then suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared and said to him, listen, your prayers are being answered. And it was hard for him to believe, because he had got so used to, or circumstances had convinced him that this ain't happening. He had believed for years, maybe fasted and prayed for years, maybe, you know, whatever, talked about it. And then he had probably buried his dream. He wasn't expecting an answer. And all of a sudden, the angel shows up and says, fear not, Zechariah. Your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. He's like, what? And he could not believe. And we know the story. We are not going there. But because he didn't believe, the angel says, hey, you're not going to speak until this child is born. He paid a price for it. But the whole thing what I'm taking out of it, extracting out of that in this season for us, is that it is very possible for us to get caught up with the same old, same old. It's very possible for us to get up and do the same routine. And if we are not expectant, if we are not hearing, if we are not positioned and aligned and you know, be in that place of keeping our ears and our eyes open, we could miss it. Just like the church in the book of Acts. Praying for Peter, but when he came, they couldn't believe it, right? So stay alert in the spirit. Stay awake in the spirit. Can I hear an amen in the house? That sounds like a slumbering amen. Amen, no. Awake, 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 O church on the rock. And let's be aligned so that, you know, we don't miss. That's why the busyness of the season could take us away from the track of where God wants us to be. So, you know, one of my maybe all-time favorite verses, and I've quoted this many times, is Acts chapter 17, verse 26. So, Nicholas, if you can put, I didn't give you the scriptures today, but Acts chapter 17, verse 26 says that from one man, God created the entire, I'm summarizing, okay? God created the entire world. But there was a reason why he did it. See, it says, from one man he made all nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, watch this carefully. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Okay? And then verse 27 says, God did this. What was the did this? I'm a teacher, so I will ask you questions. He did this, meaning he marked the boundaries of the people. He appointed people and he marked where they should live and at what time they should live. Okay, that was the previous verse. But verse 27 says, he did this so that they would seek him and reach out for him and find him. Though he's not really far from us. So I'm saying this, I know you've heard this again, but think about it. The scripture says that from before the foundations of the world, God had planned and ordained that each one of us should be alive in this generation, should be alive and breathing at this time frame. that we should be living in this particular geographic region. No matter where we were born or, you know, that we should be here. That God had ordained that you would be here today. So all of it, God did. He appointed our times and He marked our boundaries. Wherever, whichever part of the world we live. But there was a reason for that. So that we would seek Him. So that we would find Him. So that. We will reach out to Him. And so I'm saying this to say, God does this with an expectation that we seek Him and that we find Him, that we always reach out to Him. Now, what about those of us who have already found Him? We are saved. We are in the church. We've already found Him. With this awareness that God brings people and puts them in specific places, and I'm not even going to Matthew 13 where Jesus said, you know, the parable where He says the seed, you know, that the man, not the parable of the sower where it says about the different kinds of seeds, but where the other parable where Jesus talks about when the man was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed some bad seeds, and then He explains it to His disciples and says the good seed was sown by the Son of Man, that the righteous, the believers are the good seed, right? And He's looking for a harvest, and the wicked are the one sons of the... So, but I just want to... Which means that God plants us in specific places intentionally. God sets us our boundaries intentionally. So once we are saved, how does that verse even affect us? Is because then we know if God has planted me here, I live in 136 whatever street, and then you know the ones that God has put on your right and your left, the one that God has put opposite you or behind you is also intentionally planned and appointed by God so that they may somehow reach God. And guess how they will reach God? Is through the light. Through those that God has already touched. So this verse applies to Christians and non-Christians alike. Christians, because we need to live in the awareness that, you know, God has already predetermined our boundaries. That He's already appointed us. And then because we know that, we want to be careful. When you sit next to someone in the bus, it's never by accident. Because He appointed their times and He appointed yours and He just puts the two together. With the hope that somehow those who are not yet saved will reach out. And He wants us to be the agents that do it. It's simple. But think about it. In our generation, who else will tell others about the Lord except us, who God chose to be in this generation? And so, you know, there's a verse in, it's about David. It's a New Testament verse. It's in Acts chapter 13. I believe it's verse 36, maybe. If we can have Acts chapter 13. Anyway, the latter part of the verse says that David fell asleep after serving God's purposes in his generation. So it says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. So think about it. David, and that's such a great example for us, that David served God's purpose in his generation. And I want you to think about the storyline of David. When he was, you know, in the back of the beyond with the little sheep, few sheep, he was serving God's purpose. And then when he was running from Saul, hiding in caves and raising up some people to be strong, mighty men, he was serving God's purpose. Though his story looked different. It seemed like the song that we sang, he was surrounded by enemies and he was being chased from one cave to the other. But he was still serving God's purpose. And then when he became king, he was still serving God's purpose. So, and finally he died after fulfilling God's purpose for his life in his generation. So it wasn't just about him. He was serving his generation. And I want to encourage us today that don't let's get comfortable with the coziness of Canada. With the land flowing with milk and honey. It really is. But God brings us here with a purpose, intentionally planned and planted us and kept us here so that, you know, people would reach out to Him and find Him, even though He's not really far from us. It starts with us. And you know, there's an ongoing daily finding of God. Not just one day I got saved. Today, what did God speak to you? Have you touched his heart today? I was telling the worship team before when we were praying. I said, you know what? Let's make memory with God today in our worship. Our worship, quoting Pastor Robin who was here last time. Our worship should please God to the degree that we make memory with God every time we worship. Right? And so, as we get filled up with God, we are a blessing to other people. And then if we live with the knowledge that this is the purpose for which he has kept us here and now, then we can, you know, serve God's purposes. Now, I wanted to say, as I started off and I said we are planning and, you know, to see where God is leading us. We are trying to, you know, steer the, you know, the promises of God here to where he wants each one and us as a corporate body to go. One of the things we want to do is to bring an awareness that as individuals, as we are all here, we are part of the global church of God, but we're also part of this local body. The interesting thing about being part of the body, which is really, you know, a metaphor that God gave in the Bible, right? It's very interesting, right? And I want to just kind of run through some of the scriptures which are very familiar and then tie it up in the end and then see where we are going with that, okay? So maybe we should start with Romans chapter 12. If we can look at Romans chapter 12, let me give you the scripture. Let's read verses 3 to 8, and I have some specific scriptures that I want to pick from there. But so Paul is writing this. He says, by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of your... Now, let me pause here for a minute. Instead of looking there, look at me for a minute. Now, to serve God's purposes, okay, I need you to get this. To serve God's purposes, we cannot do it by ourselves. It's probably bad news for some of us because we just like I, me, and myself and God. But it's God's way. And some of us really like this. But the fact is that we cannot do it by ourselves. God, in his wisdom, decided that, I think he was having fun also while doing this, and that he'll put all the different parts together and make them function like a body, so that we need each other and we will depend on each other. And he made each part, you know, look different, behave different, and, you know, respond differently and do different functions. So I just want to say that because we cannot do it by ourselves. If we are serious and we think, hey, I want to serve God's purpose, it's never going to happen by ourselves. Yes, we need God, of course. That's just bottom line fundamental. But other than God and the Holy Spirit, we need the people that God brings into our lives, right? So let's start off with this verse. It says, by the grace given me, I say to you, to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. No, let's stay in that verse. I just actually wanted to pick just the last part, in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you. And that word there in other versions, you'll find according to the grace that has been apportioned to each of you. Okay? Now, this means God has given everybody, God has actually distributed. He says, okay, I'm going to give this much for Josh and this much for Ulysses and this much for Sweelan. And so he's given all of us some basic grace, okay? Basic level of faith. And then, And he says, by the way, don't think of yourself more highly, you know, just be sober when you think of yourself. Because he has given us some things, not by ourselves, okay? So, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift, okay, we'll stop there. I'll go to the next one later. But what is he saying? He says, we are all different, but we form one body. And then, see, suddenly out of that unity, he goes into, and we all have different gifts. Okay, I want you to see the connection. That every time he talks about, whether it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, whether it's in Ephesians, whether it's in 1 Peter chapter 4, where all these places where they talk about the gifts, every time he'll talk about, the Holy Spirit reminds us, talks to us about the importance of the fact that we are one body. Don't forget that you are one body. You're different members of one body. And then quickly it switches to the gifts. And that's where we are going to go a little bit, in a bit. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And chapter 4, verse 4 onwards we can start. I'm just going to skip some verses and... where art thou, Corinthians? Okay. First, and this is a chapter, again, famous chapter about the spiritual gifts, but I want us to look at some verses. Okay. So, verse 4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Verse 5, there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. And verse 7, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Okay, now I'm going to skip all of the part from here that says about, you know, all the nine gifts. We'll do that another time, but he mentions the nine gifts. And then I want us to fast forward to verse 11 and 12. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Okay? So we know that we just read the few verses that said that people have different gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives. And then people, the manifestation is different. Each one may demonstrate it differently, you know. And each one may have different functions, but it's God who gives it to them, right? Now, this one says, all of these, and then he mentions the nine gifts, right? And then he says, and all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Again, the word distribute. Okay, so God is on other versions say he gives, but basically he portions and gives. He determines who he's going to give what gift. I need you to get this. Because in the body of Christ, sometimes we compare, not sometimes, often, maybe all the time, we compare ourselves with other people and we envy some people and we envy certain gifts. And also maybe historically, the church, the global church, universal church, has emphasized a lot on some gifts and some other gifts have not been, you know, talked much about. So we tend to do this. But I want you to see that he's saying it's he who determined, and it's always, it will be different. You will not all have the same gifts. Now, if we can go to the next verse. So from the gifts, he's now quickly moving again to unity and diversity. Okay, so he says, verse 12, although one has many parts, but all its many parts from one body, so it is with Christ. So think about this. This is just as a body, we are a body, you know, our bodies, though it's one body, it has many parts. He says, but all its many parts form one body. See, the hand itself is not a body. You know that. The toe by itself is not a body. The ear by itself is not a body. But when it's all put together, then it becomes a body. Right? And I want you to get the connection. He just talked about all the different gifts that he says God gives to different people, different gifts. And then he says, remember that one person by themselves, or one part by itself does not make up the body. So all the parts together make up the body. Right? And I want you to see how he's immediately connecting it. All right? Let's fast forward to maybe verse... let's do verse 14 and 15. Says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not stop being. Okay, fast forward to verse 18. Verse 18 says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. It's important that we get it. Verse 18, it says, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so we are speaking now again metaphorically, okay? The body, the church being a body. If you can look at verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Let's go to verse 24 and 25. I'm intentionally taking time to do this, okay? 24 and 25. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked. Look at verse 25. So that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Hallelujah. And then verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ. Can you picture that when Paul was talking this to the Corinthians and he's giving this spiel about, you know, body is made up of many parts, but one part doesn't make a body by itself. It's like, all the parts together make a body. And then I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, body parts. We know. But he brings it all together and he says, now you are the body of Christ. Get the picture. That's what he was saying. Because, you know, there was a lot of division and strife and all stuff that happened in the church at Corinth, in the Corinthian church originally. But they also moved in many gifts. Next week I'm going to follow up on some things and then it'll make sense. But there was a reason why he was saying to the church that, listen, you are the body of Christ. And he was comparing it with regular body of people and saying, listen, you're made up of different parts. They don't look alike. They don't behave alike. They don't do the same function. The eye cannot say to the ear, like, you look weird, man. What's that flap? The tongue cannot say to the toe, you know, you stink. Maybe the toe can turn around and say, well, you too, early in the morning. But however, the point is that they all look different, behave different, have different functions, but they are important, and the body on the whole will not work until they're all together. Even the invisible parts of the body, right? That's not, we can't see, like your, I don't know, gallbladder or your liver or your, whatever it is, intestines and all of that. But he was talking about it and he brings it down and says, listen, remember, you are the body and each of you, come on, can you tap someone and say each of you? Each of you, and that each includes you. Each of you is a part of it. And see, sometimes because this scripture has been so overly repeated, we forget about it. We take it lightly. And what happens is we get comfortable with our own type. So all the toes get together. Because see, we like to be, we don't look different. We don't talk different. We don't sound different. And all the noses get together. I was just going to say all the nosy pockers, but I'm going to be nice. All the noses get, all the tongues get together. That would be weird. Right? And so he was saying that, and then he was connecting it to the gifts. Okay? Let's also look at one more scripture, maybe 1 Peter chapter 4. And Maybe verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. Oh, yeah. So it says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So, and then it goes on to say, he who is, you know, speaks, let him speak as God. And we'll just stay in verse 10. Now, here's the thing. A lot of the, now 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the nine gifts, you know, and we'll go through that some other time, but which we are very familiar with, right? The word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophesying, casting out demons, you know, tongues and interpretation of tongues and working of miracles, faith, and, you know, all of that, right? We are all aware of that. But there's many other gifts that God has given to the body that we don't talk much about. Right? For example, Romans 12. We'll go back there in a minute. But let's go further here and let's look at verse 11. See, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very end. In the original, it's prophesying. Okay? If anyone prophesies, let them do as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves. Now, you get it. He was talking about God giving gifts to the body, different parts of the body by his grace. He determined who gets what gift because we are all different parts. He decided, you know, one will be the thumb. He decided one will be the ear. He decided one will be the nose. So based on his decision, based on what he determined, he gives certain gifts, which are called grace gifts, that we can function in that gift. Now, look at these gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 gifts, we all know, you know. You know, the casting out demons, the tongues, the prophesying, the working of miracles, healings, all that, we are familiar with this. But there are other gifts that talk about speaking, that talk about serving. You know, we often don't think about serving as a gift. It is a gift of the Holy Spirit, given according to his understanding. What he wanted that particular part to do. So I want you to know that the one who has the gift of serving is in no way less than the one who has the gift of preaching, is no way less than the one who moves in the gift of healing. And let's continue. So the one who's serving, let him serve with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Next one, verse. Oh no, sorry. Go back to 11 because I missed one there. 10. Yeah, as faith, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And because I stopped there, I said we'll come back to that later. I just want us to look at that for a minute. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 onwards. Just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, let's just keep going. In Christ, we have many, but, okay, keep going. We'll come to the verse. Okay, let's look at these, okay? We have different gifts according to the grace given to each one of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Next one. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. Next one. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. Think of this. Encouraging others, or the gift of encouragement, it is a gift from the Spirit of God for the body of Christ. If it is giving is a gift. All right? I do want to give a warning here though. Now we know, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about, you know, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. And some of us may think, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I don't have to do it. No, there's no, see, we can all do all of it. But we have special ability to move in some things more than other people. So giving also, we are all called to give. But some people are crazy givers. And that's just the ability God gives them, and that's how God has wired them, and we'll look at that later. But, you know, but all I'm saying is we don't think of giving as a gift. You know, how people usually say prophesying is my gift, or, you know, casting out demons or praying for the sick. But giving is a gift. Serving is a gift. Encouraging is a gift. Administration is a gift. Leadership is a gift. And he says, see, if it is to lead, to do it diligently, being a, you know, leadership is a gift, right? And then it says, showing mercy. Imagine, being merciful is a gift, right? And so there are many. And then, you know, Jesus talks about those who have the special ability to stay single, those who have chosen. Well, he doesn't say that way. He says about eunuchs. And he says that some are made like that by men. Some have by choice chosen to do that. So if you look at it, we are not doing that in detail. If you look at it, there are many gifts that the Bible talks about that the people of God are equipped with. God intentionally puts some gifts in different people so that they can function as, just for our purposes, you know, toe, forefinger, knee, or eyeballs, or whatever it is, right? God does it intentionally and purposely. So, bringing it full circle, if we want to serve God like David did in his generation, if we want to serve God in our generation, we, and the weapon that God has used, or the vessel that God uses, is always the church. There was a reason why Jesus said, I will build my church. There was a purpose for him. Why could he not just save people and leave them all, just everybody go get people saved? Have you thought about it? There was a reason why God started a living organism called the church. Not a dead organization, but a living organism called the church. Because he looks at the church as a family. He looks at the church as a body. And then we have different scriptures. We're not going there. In Ephesians, you know, talks about members of God's household. Members of his household. He's the father and we are the children. We have, and Paul writes to Timothy and says older men and you know, to treat them as fathers and older women as mothers and younger ones as sisters and children and sons. And so God, when God looks at the church, he's not looking at a building with stained glass windows and steeples. He's not looking at one person, you know, standing. And he's looking at a body that has to be together and one, and that body functions because each one, if your little pinky toe is hurt, we start limping. So for God's purposes to be fulfilled, go back to Acts chapter 17 verse 26 where it says, he brings together, he appoints people, he makes the decision who lives where and at what time. And so here we find ourselves together in a church. So we need to understand that God brings us together. However God brought, you know, he spoke to some of us, some of us just wandered in. But however, we know we've made the decision. We are here. This is our family. But we have to start looking at the church as a body with different parts and different functions so that when each one does their work, then together the body moves forward. Now, the purpose why the church was born, I spoke one time about, you know, God's greatest idea. And you know what? I think even beyond, like, God sent Jesus Christ, of course, to save us, but his most brilliant idea was the church. Because Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10, if you can put that up, Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 says that God's intention for building the church, for bringing the church together, his intent was that now through the church, I want us to get that. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. But we can't do it by ourselves. God calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We can't do it by ourselves. We can take trips by ourselves. But for that one trip, we need many other people, parts of the body. One is the mouth that's going. Then there are others with the, you know, gift of giving that help make it happen. There are others with the gift of serving that might babysit the children when he's not there. There are others with, like, so many different, there are others who are maybe, you know, have administrative gifts and all. Many things come together for that one thing to move forward when God has planned something and he intentionally does it. Intentionally does it. So here's where I'm going with this. You are part of a body and I am part of a body. We are all, of course, part of an overall body of Christ. But within the local church, see, every time Paul was addressing the local church and saying, hey, remember, you are part of the body. Don't forget. You are not like the other person, and don't compare yourself with the other person, because I have given you a different gift from that person. So you expect to be different. But the whole point is, your gift is not for yourself. I have the gift of prophecy. Well, that prophecy is meant for someone else. I have the gift of serving. Serving is to serve others. Giving is not putting it in your bank. It's for giving other people. Encouragement. Yes, we need to encourage ourselves sometimes, but it's always for other people. So every gift, administration, who do you administer? Not yourself. So every gift that God is talking about is to benefit the body, so that together the body, the church, can move forward with the purposes of God. So in closing, I want to say, we are going to do something. We are going to do a spiritual gifts survey. Hopefully by now you're thinking, okay, I wonder what my gift is really. And even for those of us who know, it's good to discover again. So we want to do a spiritual gifts survey. We want you to fill it up. Do the survey online. We'll send it to you by email. And if there's any hitch, Cindy's helping me put it together and all that. So Cindy, hopefully it'll be done. We just have one last thing to do. So by Tuesday or Wednesday, we will mail out to you the spiritual gifts survey. It's just a bunch of questions. It's not trick questions. So just keep, you know, putting it. It's very simple. 0 to 3, you know, whatever. Just do it. And here's the trick about finding the true gift is, how should I say? Okay, let me take for example. I'm just giving an example, okay? Don't judge me. Serving is not my gift. So whenever those questions kind of come, you know, like, I feel very guilty to give myself a 0 in that. Because I want to say, not at all. Like, when you know, see people working hard, you feel like jumping and helping? I'm like, I'm in a not at all case, right? But I feel guilty to put 0. So don't feel guilty. That's just how God wired you. Now, God will mature us to the point where, you know, you go beyond your gift and, you know, we show the character of Christ. And we will deal with that later. But for the spiritual gift survey, I want you guys to all do it, right? You know, just fill your email thing and then fill it. And then you get to see your gifts. We get to see your gifts. Now, why is the reason what I was talking about today is so that you will know what your part in the body is. You'll realize, hey, I'm a nose. I can smell, discern. No, I'm joking. But we know what our gifting is, and then as the leadership team also sees and knows your gift, a lot of you we know already, but there are also hidden gifts, and then we'll go to skills and talents and abilities later. But, you know, the reason why we are starting with spiritual gifts is that next Sunday will be very interesting. You don't want to miss it, because every gift has a different kind of wiring. That is why when Jesse sees something, sorry, I'll pick on you, sees something, you know, floppy and done in a haphazard way, it annoys her like crazy. Because she has the gift of administration. That's just not the way it should be done. That's not how it should be. It should be here. It should be. And it just doesn't bother me, because I didn't, was there a garbage? I didn't see it. Right? Because I have a different gift. So it's the same thing with every gifting, and we'll go through some of them next week after you've done your survey, so we can see how giftings are connected to certain ways we are wired. So, if, you know, and that's not excuse. We'll talk about all that, but we can understand each other better. So our gifting is for the body, and it all comes out. See, if you notice, it's really interesting how Paul will compare it to, you know, don't compare yourself with each other. Don't grieve each other. Forgive each other. And then he'll go into gifts. Or he'll start about gifts and then he'll say, be careful that, you know, you're not offended with each other. Be quick to forgive. Why? Because he knows we are wired differently. If we hang out together, which he says we should, you know, in small groups and as a church, we rub each other wrong way sometimes, some of us. Because the jawbone will be saying to the shoulder bone, hey, don't show off because without me you can't eat. Right? And then there's all these things, these different ways God wants us above and over that with the Spirit of God. That's why it's a spirit of unity. Oneness of spirit. Because we don't look alike. We look different. We do different. Everything is different. We are wired differently. We respond to situations differently. But if we know each other's, you know, giftings and wirings, and if we know our own selves, then we can move forward together intentionally, deliberately, and the best can come out. All right? So, are you ready for this? We'll send you the survey. We want you to do this. And as you do it next week, we will look at some of the wirings of how different gifts. So you'll know if you have this gift, and then I talk a little bit about how that gift is, personality is wired. It's quite interesting. But we want to serve God together. Would you stand up for a minute? Before I close, I'm going to just shift from the gift things. I want you to think about what I started with, to position ourselves so that we don't get caught up in the spinning world, but we still ourselves before God in the secret place. I was reading Hebrews chapter 11, and I think it was verse 13 or something, but there's a phrase there that talks about the people of faith. It says, they saw things from afar and they embraced things from afar, the things that God had promised them. They welcomed it from afar. The Passion Translation says they embraced it. And I was asking the Lord, how do you embrace something that's so far away? Your promise that is so far away. How do you embrace this? Because the book of Hebrews says they were commended for their faith. Because they knew how to embrace their promise which was afar. While they were here, while they didn't receive the promise. And I want to encourage you, church, that we can please God with our faith when we learn how to embrace the things that God has promised us. Literally draw near to it, embrace it, breathe it, think about it, talk about it, pray about it. So I want to leave you with that call to embrace and welcome the things that you think are still afar that God has promised you. Embrace it this morning. God has created you with a purpose, with a specific ability, uniquely different from other people. And He's going to use us, that very gifting, for the purposes of God. So, Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for how You've created each one of us. We thank You for the different parts of the body. We ask, O God, that at the end of this year, You will awaken us again to understand the giftings that You've placed within us, to know that You've put that within us for a purpose. And so, Lord, right here, right now, we surrender ourselves to You, saying, Lord, yes, we are different from the other, but we will fulfill Your purpose in our lives. I just want you to take that position and posture today in your heart. Just say, God, wherever You've created me to be, whatever You've gifted me to have, I will use it for Your glory and for Your purpose. Can you just take that 1 minute to tell God, I will use everything that I am and that I have for Your purposes. That we may be those like David who fulfill the purpose of God in our generation. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name.